personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Breaking almost sort of as we're recording this, Dal. Von Miller. He did tear his ACL, discovered as they went in to do his original surgery planned. And, yeah, he's done for the year.
And that sucks. Really does suck for the Bills, because I really do think, especially as we were going to get into the postseason, he's one of those guys that kind of has it.
He makes that one or two plays in a football game that is the difference between losing to the Chiefs by three and beating the Chiefs by three.
Yeah. So that's a big blow to the Bills. It would have been nice to keep him healthy. The other thing, they just need to focus on getting healthy on defense, period. They have a lot of guys out that are can kind of shuffled in and out. They're starting to get healthy again. Russo is back, and Ed Oliver's back. Some of those guys, and Poyer. As Poyer goes, so goes the Bills' defense, I think.
Well, and did you see the scare on the last play of their game against New England last Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
When he decided to go for an interception on the sideline in garbage time just for fun, which I was rooting for because I have their defense in fantasy. I'm like, oh, catch it. Get me 3 points. And then he was slow getting up, and everyone went, okay, it wasn't that important that you catch it.
Then we went, let's not do that. that's kind of breaking news as we're recording here. So that sucks. Somebody else pointed out, even going back to the offseason, there's this group of people that want to sign Odell Beckham Jr. There's Dallas, there's Buffalo, there's some of these contender teams, and it's just like...
And it's apparently still going to take several more weeks because...
Well, he tore his knee in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking February. I mean, even best case scenario, he's just now maybe getting to the point where he's starting to do real physical stuff on it. I mean, I'm just saying, but if I'm the Bills, somebody pointed this out on Twitter and I'm just stealing theirs. It's like, please pay Poyer before you sign this guy.
Why are we all so entrenched too in that Odell Beckham is going to be this rent-a-player? Why are we letting Odell Beckham be this rent-a-player that just, oh, I'll just play for whoever I think the best team is each offseason? I guess he's just going to do this every offseason?
I don't know.
I don't. Well,
and let's remember before.
Can you not just sign him to a 3-year deal and say, oh, shame about this year, but all right, we're still the Bills next year and the year after that.
But, well, I look at it. Remember before he got to L.A., he was looking kind of done.
He kind of had vanished when he was in Cleveland.
So, I mean, I just...
It wasn't really all that spectacular in L.A. He just, you know, had Matt Stafford throwing him the football.
Well, he had the best team in football that mm-hmm. he was on. So, I don't understand the love affair with him. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there that the Bills have other players that should take precedence over signing that guy, mm-hmm. is all I'm saying.
Another big thing that went down this week, apparently it's the largest transfer portal weekend in the history of college football.
Gross.
Including a very shocking one, Drew Pine from Notre Dame, who, from all looks of it, had gotten his starting... I mean, he had benched at the beginning of the year for Buckner, and I was very public about how much I hated that. And I said, no, Buckner can't throw. Put Pine in. Buckner gets hurt. Drew Pine comes in, leads him to an 8-3 record as the starter. Or no, he was 8-1 as the starter. Has a great year. Well, great by backup Notre Dame quarterback standards. 22 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions.
That's a good year.
Perfectly good year. In fact, he had offers coming out of high school. He was a top 100 recruit coming out of high school. He had offers from LSU, from Clemson, and from Alabama. And he picked Notre Dame because he said as a kid he was a Notre Dame fan. He said he liked college football more than the NFL, and Notre Dame was his team. I'm like, and so now here you are. You got the starting job and everything. The only people that are a threat to you is that Notre Dame just brought in these 2 4- and 5-star quarterback freshmen. So unless you're just really worried a freshman is coming for your job, the starting job is yours next year. And now you choose to transfer?
Yeah, I don't.
Not last year when you were on the bench?
it's a confusing year. One thing that I will say as a Wyoming fan, we still take it personally. I don't know how the Blue Bloods take it, because like Clemson had double-digit players that are leaving, and I mean, it's what I'm saying is Clemson, LSU, Notre Dame. This is happening everywhere. Over 1,000 players, I think, in Division I entered the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it happens for Wyoming players, Wyoming fans take it personally. We're like, who's doing this? Who's responsible for this? And we've got to get over that. And maybe we will, you know, after this year. But breaking news for that, too. Wyoming had, they had dismissed their leading rusher before he entered the portal last week, Titus Swin. And then their next two running backs, which we were expecting to do well because they played a lot this year, they're unavailable for the bowl game, one of which we saw had a pretty major surgery on his Twitter account. So it's like, oh, well, I guess that's why he's unavailable. And then just literally before we came on the air, Joey Brash, who was like the next guy up, it's like, okay, I guess this is Joey's bowl game. He's in the portal. And it's like, really, buddy? So here you are primed to probably get 25 carries in a bowl game, and you hit the portal. That's the part I don't get, is what does that say to your next team? I mean, if he comes in, let's say he was going to go in the portal, but he plays in the bowl game, has a great game, runs mm-hmm. it 25 times, gets 120 yards and a touchdown. That makes you look pretty attractive, right? In the portal, even more so.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like now? I was primed to be the running back in a bowl game, but nah, yeah, I'm good. I'm irritated by it.
Now, we can't confirm this, Dal. These could be for academic reasons.
No, you're absolutely right. There's a million reasons why.
Maybe Wyoming says. Didn't have his major. We don't know.
Well, he's already been out there a couple of years, so...
He said, whoopsie, that's right, I wanted to be a brain surgeon. I forgot.
It's just irritating. So now, arguably the strongest position on Wyoming's roster going into the season is now limping. We literally have four guys who rushed for a combined 2,000-something yards. None of them are playing in the bowl game. They're all either injured or gone.
Notre Dame's going to start a freshman in our bowl game because Drew Pine entered the transfer portal. And lest we forget, the other quarterback is hurt. That only leaves us the third string quarterback, a redshirt freshman.
If Drew Pine wants to come and try and take the Wyoming job, I'd be okay with that too. Nothing against our guy.
Well, Drew Pine, a former, like I said, top 100 recruit out of high school. Yeah, I mean, would be a massive get for Wyoming.
Well, I'm kidding. He's not coming.
No. I am told that there is a potentially very strong interest, and this could be fascinating, in Drew Pine going to Georgia to be the Stetson Bennett replacement. And I don't... Again, you know, everyone likes to point fingers and who's to blame. A lot of the times I am the fan who feels betrayed when players from my team say, I want out, especially when they're vocal about it. Drew Pine has not really been vocal. He's just transferring. I don't know who's at fault. Maybe a coach literally told him, hey, you're going to have to compete for your starting job again next year. And Drew Pine said, oh, well, you know what? I've only got 1 year of eligibility left. I'd rather go start. It could be any number of things.
Yeah.
He seems like such a nice kid. I want to root for him. If he ends up at some school I don't hate, I'll root for Drew Pine wherever he goes. I hope he does fine.
And see, I'm that way with several of the Wyoming players. Like even this year,
it's a very case to case thing for me.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. I feel like I'm the same way. There was a guy that went to Oklahoma and he made a couple big plays for them this year. Solomon Bird was in that Utah USC game playing for the Trojans. He got in a couple times and I'm fine with those guys, but this guy and a couple, I'm just like, really? I'm annoyed. I'm quite annoyed right now.
One of the funnier ones was, I remember Northwestern had this really tall receiver that was like the only part of their offense or their passing offense that ever got anything going, because Northwestern really doesn't have great quarterback play. For some reason, we keep sending backup quarterbacks to the NFL, though. Not sure how Northwestern keeps doing that when they have no passing game. But they had this Ben Skoranek kid Those of you might know him as guy who dropped ball in the Super Bowl for the Rams last year.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
But when he was at Northwestern, he was a star. And then they found out that right before his fifth year, senior year, he was transferring. And Northwestern fans all went, oh, no, he's our whole passing game. And even I said, oh, come on. Don't transfer, Ben. Northwestern needs you. And then I found out the school he was transferring to was Notre Dame. I went, oh, all right, that's fine.
Well, and this may or may not make you happy. This also kind of breaking just in the last little bit. Aaron Judge, switching gears. Aaron Judge picking the Yankees. He's coming back to New York.
Yeah, $360 million, a nine-year deal.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. In fact,
he's in his 30s. 9 years?
Aaron Judge is in his 30s?
Yeah.
Really? I thought he was just barely in the league.
Oh, no. Huh. I want to say he's at 30 or he's 31, but especially with that injury history he's got. 9 years? Or is that just so that you can get him for the next three locked up?
Are we talking about the same guy?
Aaron Judge?
The 62 home run guy?
Yeah, I assume you're Googling him now.
Yeah, he is 30.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe you just have to do what you got to do to get him under contract.
Wow. 6'7", 282 pounds. That's a big dude.
9 years.
Baseball, though? I mean, come on. Guys play that late all the time.
Maybe, but Aaron Judge.
Especially in
the Aaron Judge is coming off the only fully healthy season he's ever had in his career.
It's the Yankees. They wipe their butt with $100 bills. But someone broke that down. He actually makes, with his contract, he'll be making $76 per minute.
I love when people break it down to such random
intervals. I think that's probably more than, I'm just saying, your average American probably makes that in a day. You know, or right around somewhere between $75 and $100.
I'm just saying, you say $360 million, and that's, I mean, my brain can already comprehend that that is a large number. I don't really need the per minute.
See, I appreciate it, because I can't really wrap my head around how much money that really is. But then, yeah, somebody was like, yeah, he makes like $4,600 an hour. And it's like, whoa, that's just a little more than I make.
Aaron Judge. Going there. Some controversy in the National League Central. Some treachery is afoot, Dal, and it makes me chuckle. My wife is sure to be happy about this, but so her favorite player of all time, because they share a birthday and they played the same position, is Yadier Molina. They both played catcher when they played, and they share a birthday. Yadi retired, of course, as part of that final run with the Cardinals. So the Cardinals were in the market for a catcher, so they went out and they got the second-best free agent catcher available in the league this year. They went out and they got longtime Chicago Cub Wilson Contreras, and it gives me a chuckle.
Makes you happy?
You know, the Northsiders of Chicago are calling this treason, and I'm in love with every second of it. 5 years, I believe $87.5 million for Wilson. He secured himself the bag, as the young kids say, Dal. And the Cardinals got themselves... don't flay me in the streets, St. Louis. But let's be honest, Yachty's been old for a hot minute now. The Cardinals got themselves an upgrade at catcher.
Yeah.
Maybe not defensively, but you certainly got a much hotter bat. Their bats kind of evaporated towards the end of the year last year, so... There you go. Now you have a catcher that can actually hit. You don't have to DH for at the end of games.
I'll tell you, baseball players, $73 a minute, $76 a minute, whatever it was. And he's not even the highest paid guy.
No.
I mean, that's just one of them. I didn't realize he was 30. I thought he was still like 26.
No, you probably didn't realize he's been in the league that long because he's always hurt.
Yeah, that's probably true. Well, time to move into our picks for the week.
Kind of impressive, though, that the only time he's ever been healthy for a full year, he can apparently just jack 62 home runs over the wall.
Well, and he could probably do more than that if it had pitched to him down the stretch.
Like, is that actually the problem? Are his muscles so big that they keep tearing themselves?
Could be. Is that... Just lumbering around, tearing things. Oh. He's like a big tight end.
I shouldn't have gotten this bloated.
You were talking about the matchups this week for the NFL, and let's just say you felt like the sandwich of...
It's like a delicious ice cream sandwich where the center is just rich, fresh, beautiful vanilla ice cream, but instead of cookies, it's just two dog turds on each end of it. Because we've got a Thursday night matchup of Raiders-Rams.
It's still football.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to eat the dog turd, and I'm going to like it.
Can't we just call it, like a stale cookie?
No, now you have to close your eyes for
still
a minute.
Still a cookie.
And taste it for a second, Dal.
No, I'm not going that far. I feel like it's still football. So it's still a cookie, but it's not like... It's like a hard cookie.
I did look ahead, by the way, and so the Bears are now currently the second pick in the draft, but they have a bye this week.
They're also second all time in wins in the NFL now.
Yes, I am aware. It's one of those bittersweet things because I am so repulsed, by the way, and this is the only I said this is not the main point. This is what you tell yourself afterwards to feel better. And there are so many Bears fans, and they're usually my generation or younger, because apparently hate is gone from sports now. You're not allowed to be a hater in sports anymore. I hate that. I hate the lack of hate. So many Bears fans with the, what do we care about beating the Packers in a random game that doesn't mean anything? Let's lose and get a better draft pick. And I'm going, what are you talking about?
What is wrong with you?
I don't care if both of us are 0-14. Beat the Packers because they're the Packers. And there's too many fans now that, and I get it, you know, in the whatever, the factual, realistically, does it make a difference? No, but that's not the point. Factually, realistically, if the Bears win the Super Bowl, does it make a difference in your life? No, only what you let it make it. So let yourself get into the rivalry, and you hate the Packers for being the Packers, you turds!
Yeah.
Anyway, we lost to the Packers again. And we are now number two in the draft stock, which is not the main point. It's what you tell yourself to feel better. However, Bears have a bye week. If the Broncos and the Rams both lose this week, they will tie us in record, and we win, with massive air quotes, the tiebreaker and drop to the fourth seed because of strength of schedule. So we get one little nugget of benefit from this, though. The Rams and Broncos play each other in a few weeks.
Whoa.
One of them is winning, hopefully. And so if we just lose out, we can at least jump up to the three. But we really would like both of them to win like one more game. And now Baker Mayfield is here to maybe accidentally win one more game for the Rams. This would have been a good week for it. I'm rooting for the Rams. I just don't know I can pick them. Vegas is on a three-game win streak.
Since you kind of just alluded to it, I'm going to talk about it for just a second. Ties in the NFL. I don't like ties.
Both of us are coming off of a bittersweet sort of a week.
I mean, it's nice not to lose, but the American in me is like, you know what? Get your dang kickers out there. Start at 40 yards.
Just play overtime playoff, really. I don't care. You want to go to four overtimes in the regular season? Nah. You can lose on purpose if you want, or you can play those four overtimes.
And even if it's about player safety, since kickers aren't real players, let's just kick field goals. Start at 40 yards. If he makes it, then you got to make it. And then go to 50 yards. If he makes it, you got to make it. Then go to 55, and then go to 60. And the first guy to miss, your team loses. I don't like ties.
That, or you could just go, not quite college, but the other one I've heard, just to not put it in the hands of the kicker, is you say, well, you just take turns with two-point conversions.
Yeah, but then you're also increasing how many plays.
I do not care.
Well, you don't because you're not a player.
Had I been a player, though, this would have been. I mean, this was always kind of my mentality, even when I was in high school, college, whatever. Like, more football? Okay, I'll play more football if you want.
I just so now Washington fans have to wait because we have a bye week as well, and then we play the Giants again.
Yeah, the schedule makers who were half asleep when they were making the schedule, I do believe.
So
I'm going to have to check this. Are the Giants also on a bye? No, they go. Okay.
Yeah, no, they're playing the Eagles.
I thought both of you straight up had a game against each other, then went and took a week off, and then came back for round two. But no, New York has a game. But yeah, the schedule makers, half asleep when they were putting this together, gave you a Giants game twice in 3 weeks.
Well,
for you, it's two games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears, I already kind of discussed why our week was bittersweet. Yay, sure. Draft stock. Boo.
I just hate the Giants.
I hate the fact that there's a G on the Packers' helmet.
See, I'm going just along with what you just said. I hate them because they're the Giants.
Yeah.
I hate the Cowboys, Dallas, because they're the Cowboys.
See, that's fair. It makes more sense in your situation, though, as well, because obviously that game had playoff implications for both teams. Mm-hmm. Not only could you secure a better chance of getting in, you could help try to knock the Giants out.
Well,
it's the double whammy.
Since they're probably going to lose to Philadelphia, that game in 2 weeks is going to be even bigger. Basically, the winner probably goes to the playoffs and the loser probably won't.
I would say, well, you know, it's a rivalry game, so we can't call it a guarantee just yet. But the weird thing about Philly-New York is that it feels like Philly always wins.
There's no way New York beats Philly.
I mean,
no
even when
way.
Philly is the worst team, doesn't it feel like Philly always wins in fact, this rivalry?
In fact, if Washington, and I'm sure the Giants fans could say the same thing, but if Washington doesn't make so many missteps in the final quarter and have give up a defensive touchdown, they win that game this last Sunday. But
you should have seen how hilarious it was. So my wife and I only had two games last week where we had a different pick for Pick'em. And so we were watching Giants Washington with absolute edge of the seat of the couch. She had picked the Giants and I had picked the Commanders. And so we're watching in overtime, like just for our own personal rivalry, like, oh, who's going to get a game on the other one here? Oh, turns out neither of us. No one gets the point. The other one was, and you fell for this too, Dal. I was the only one in the entire Pick'em League that we run. The only person that got a point out of Cincinnati, Kansas City. When will any of you learn? Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah, you called
beats
that.
Beats the Chiefs.
You did. You called that.
And,
in fact, I was as they were beating them, I'm thinking to myself, Aaron told me this was going to happen.
And by the way, a lot of Chiefs fans on social media right now complaining about the way the defense played. Oh, our defense costs us another game. Our defense, this, our... I'm like, I watched that game. It wasn't like Joe Burrow was just lobbing the ball to wide open guys all game. Did you see the throw to Higgins, by the way? And by the way, great. I'm a receiver. I would like to congratulate all receivers for everything they do. You should all have your bottoms padded with baby powder on every play. You are beautiful people. But great catch by Higgins. But the throw from Joe Burrow on 3rd and 11, just on a dime right to Higgins with a defender sharing a belt loop with him.
Yeah.
And then Higgins able to concentrate, reel it in. T. Higgins pretty good at that, by the way. He's a very sure-handed player who gets overshadowed by playing on a team that has Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd on it.
Burrow did a good job of reminding people, yeah, I'm one of the top five quarterbacks too.
Mm-hmm.
So
Joe Burrow's thing is that it feels like he doesn't put up the gaudy numbers like he did in college or like the Mahomes or the Allens do now. But would you argue that there's another quarterback other than maybe Brady, but obviously the Buccaneers struggling this year and Brady's head might not all be in football right now. You're, I don't know, down 4 in a 2-minute drill. Maybe not for the whole game. There's like 3 or 4 quarterbacks you'd rather have than Burrow. But for that one scenario, is there a clutcher quarterback in the NFL this year?
Probably
not. Or even last to just say, Oh, now it's go time? Okay, well, now I'm suddenly 3 times better than I am the rest of the game for some reason.
Big Dick Joe. He calls himself that. So, there you go.
Did you hear Phil Sims called him this era's Joe Montana on CBS Radio?
Screw Phil Sims. You want to know why? Because he played for the Giants.
Which is fair and reasonable.
See?
But Phil Sims got a front row seat to Joe Montana quite a few times. So,
yeah.
I don't always take what ex-players say, you know, that to heart, because, I mean, at the end of the day, they can also be wrong. But quite a compliment to pay to Burrow from an ex Super Bowl champion quarterback to
Super Bowl champion in quotes.
Hold on. He did play the most efficient Super Bowl game of any quarterback in NFL history. I think he only had two incompletions in that whole ball game.
I'd still take Jeff Hostetler. I'd still take Jeff Hostetler.
By the way, we had started talking about it, but yeah, Raiders Rams kicks off.
And the Rams picking up Baker Mayfield this week off waivers.
Didn't it feel like everyone, the second Mayfield was waived and we learned that Garoppolo couldn't return until the divisional round, said, oh, okay, well, Baker Mayfield to the 49ers then?
Well, when he was waived, Garoppolo was out for the year.
Yeah.
They were saying that he was done.
San Francisco didn't even put in a waiver claim. The Rams were the only team that did.
Do you want to know why? Because I think Christian McCaffrey probably said, do not bring that guy. Do not make him come. Don't make him follow me over here.
Now, you could get Garoppolo back during the divisional round. That's the earliest you get him back, according to team doctors. How confident are you as San Francisco? I mean, I think I'd be confident that you still make the playoffs. You're like, we can ride Brock Purdy and running the football.
And their defense.
Yeah, to at bare minimum, maybe Seattle passes us, we still get a wild card.
Yeah.
How confident are you? Let's say you stay the four seed. Seattle's got a tough schedule coming up. Let's say you stay the four seed. How confident are you in San Francisco? And now I know the joke is, ha, 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 they're choke artists, but you're not supposed to think that way as an NFL team. How confident are you that you can beat the Dallas Cowboys in that wild card game with Brock Purdy at quarterback?
Not.
Yeah.
He'll get smoked in that game.
You're going to have to really run the crap out of the football if you're getting out of there 2 years in a row.
So, yeah, they're going to need Garoppolo back if that's the way it goes.
And I don't even like Garoppolo that much.
But as far as this week's matchup's concerned, there is a shot. That's what they're saying in the article. There's a shot that Baker Mayfield will play this week. I still don't care. I think, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Las Vegas.
I am also taking the Raiders.
That might be the first time I've taken them.
Now, they are in a 3-game win streak.
They are.
I mentioned that a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Mostly I'm just rooting for Devontae Adams to rack me up some fantasy points. And then, I don't know, whoever wins, I guess. I guess go Rams, even though I'm picking the Raiders because draft pick. But
hey, you do whatever's got to make you feel sleep better at night, man.
And the funny thing is that both the Rams and Broncos aren't even who would be picking ahead of us. If they stay in front of us and we're the fourth pick, that means Seattle and Detroit are the 2 and 3.
Detroit's moving up. I wouldn't keep counting on that.
No, I mean, Detroit has the Rams' first-round draft pick.
Oh, okay.
So the Rams are going to tank this year and get nothing out of it because Detroit's got their first-round pick. That's right. Now, both of those teams would be curious because both of them have what we all assumed were rent-a-quarterbacks that are playing well above their pay grade this season. So you have that weird issue of, do the Bears get out of that scot-free anyway? Would Seattle or Detroit or both take a young quarterback in the first round to go, you know what, our offense, both of them might be thinking, well, our offenses are good. Geno Smith and Jared Goff played well in our offense, but they're still Jared Goff and Geno Smith.
Geno Smith is putting up a hell of a year.
They both kind of are.
Yeah.
But like, do you think an NFL GM might have that in the back of their mind where
probably, they go, because they're stupid.
Where they're like, oh, but Bryce Young's right there.
Yeah, Bryce Young's not even a Heisman finalist.
Ooh, CJ Stroud is right there. I don't know. I assume Houston will take one as well.
Do you know who my favorite of the four quarterbacks going to the Heisman finalists are? I like Duggan. That guy.
I don't know that he's going to be much of an NFL quarterback.
I don't know that he will be either, but that dude.
He's not a quarterback. He's a football player.
Yeah, I like it.
As the old saying goes.
I like him.
Remember Andy Dalton at TCU?
Yeah, I do.
I liked Andy Dalton at TCU.
The Red Rifle.
He was also kind of a...
That was back in the Mountain West days. So, yeah we played against him all the time.
He too, had a bit of that tough guy swagger about him that helped TCU be good for a few years. Yeah, I think we're both taking the Raiders, though, in this
Raiders.
One.
Raiders. Bills.
not a whole lot going into that one. So, my wife in fantasy football was riding Justin Fields to this point to kind of cruise her. She's now eliminated from the playoffs because her early season was not great. But she's the winner of the consolation bracket gets to pick the draft order. So she's playing to get into the seeding for that consolation bracket. No Fields this week. So again, 14-man league, she picked up Mike White initially. I believe now she has Tyler Huntley, though, because Lamar Jackson got hurt. But it would have been funny that her two quarterbacks she would have rode for the season were going to be Justin Fields and Mike White.
Well,
and it kind of worked.
I do feel like this is going to be a game where White is going to turn it over at least a couple of times.
But do you suppose that the Bills take something like a 27-3 lead and Mike White ends up with another 380-yard passing
game
because
no.
he's just chucking the ball every down?
I'm going to say no. I think the Bills are back to being pretty solid. They're getting their players back on defense. But anything that needs to happen to keep Zach Wilson from playing football, I'm good with.
Both of us pretty easily taking the Buffalo Bills. We're back to the one seed now, by the way. So you're Josh Allen. He is your Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He's like my second favorite non-Bear quarterback, but he's your favorite non-Washington quarterback.
Oh, easily.
By the way, those two will meet in a few weeks, and even though I think Buffalo's a better team, I feel like for the purpose of this show, when those two clash in 2 weeks, I have to take Burrow, right? Like that has to be our big battle. Hopefully that's also the battle for the AFC Championship.
It could be.
So say thank you right now. Tell Joe Burrow thank you. He gave Josh Allen his one seed back.
I'm not saying anything.
Say thank you, Joe Burrow.
No.
Say, Joe, Josh appreciates you and will buy you buffalo wings.
No, he won't. Maybe he will. I don't know. He's a really nice
Buffalo
guy.
Fans are kind of wonky like that.
Well, Josh is a really nice guy. For all I know, he will. So
They did it for Andy Dalton.
That's true.
The Bengals sure helped the Bills a lot.
Yeah, they do.
What nice friends those two are. Anyhow, speaking of the Bengals.
Bengals.
Speaking of pattern recognition, though, Joe Burrow 0-4 against Cleveland.
Yes, but here's my...
God, Deshaun Watson looked awful, by the way.
Here's my theory
week.
On this. The football gods are not happy with Cleveland. And that is still yet to be paid. Because I feel like they've had a better year than they deserve. Even last week. We need to call him something else. Because I don't like using his real name. Deshaun Watson. Because
now, to be fair, just so that we don't get into any legal trouble, should this blow up later, Deshaun Watson, the cases that weren't settled, that did go to court, he has been found innocent in all of them thus far. So.
Okay.
I'll just be fair about it for a second.
What's to
for
say
that disclaimer?
Well, I'm just gonna throw this out there. One of my someone in one of my leagues, the name of his team is the Watson Dirt a Towel.
I think it was my dad that made the clever connection. By the way, that Cleveland versus Houston game last week. He's like, this is quite the metaphor for Deshaun Watson's legal troubles right now, isn't it? He goes out there and does something horrible in front of all of us, but his defense is keeping him alive, baby.
That's really good. Anyway, I think I'm going to call him. I'm just going to call him the dirty towel. How about that? So
well, regardless, he played atrociously against a very bad Houston defense.
And this is in Cincinnati, and the football gods are fully awake now.
The only
there is no way. He has a good game in Cincinnati. No way.
I mean, you want to talk about rust. My goodness.
He hasn't played in 2 years.
Yeah. But on top of that, normally it's Cleveland's defense that just destroys the Bengals' offensive line all day. I'm so tempted to take Cleveland, But there's a part of me that thinks, like, eventually Burrow's going to beat the Browns, right?
And that's happening this week.
Like, now seems as good a time as any.
It's happening this week. Bengals going to win that
Speaking
game.
Of Houston and being atrocious, not looking for... I am so glad I have Red Zone, by the way. Holy Imagine if this was, like the game I was stuck with, and it's 42-0 in the second quarter, and you're just stuck with it. Well, you're like, this is all that's on Fox. Oh, my God.
Of course, we're talking Houston at Dallas. Let's hope that the Dallas offense takes some pity on Houston. They didn't last week. Yeah, there's really no reason to stay on this game. Dallas by a lot.
Yeah, the only thing that might salvage any hope for this game is the classic, well, it's the NFL. But, yeah, I'm taking Dallas. I'm taking Dallas in a landslide. If Vegas said it was Dallas minus 31.5, I'd bet on Dallas anyway. Like,
it's a lot.
they scored 33 points in 11 minutes last week.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen very often.
No, but the Colts suck. And here's the Colts' little brother they've got this time.
Yeah.
Davis Mills is returning. Lovie Smith confirmed.
Who cares?
And not going to, I mean, him it doesn't or matter. Kyle Allen, does it?
It doesn't matter.
Really matter. Yeah, taking Dallas. This one is tricky.
I've already made my pick.
I have also already made my pick. I'm taking, much like I did with the Jets last week, I'm going to take Minnesota and grit my teeth through the entire game, praying they cling to a 5-point win because Detroit is feisty.
I'm picking the Lions.
Ah.
I think they are feisty and they are at home. And I think they're going to make a playoff push. I really do. And I think it starts with this week.
I don't think it'll be successful. They are still 2 games back? 3 games
There's
back?
There's still several games left.
There are, but they got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of teams in front of them.
Nobody wants to play them, though. Especially in Detroit. I think the Lions win this game.
It's funny that you say that, too, because Detroit is the one game. So I've already talked about the way that Bears fans operate now, and now I'm on board. The Packers game was the last game I wanted to win, and we didn't because I can have no happiness this season. But the one thing we're clinging to is, okay, well, now if we lose out, we have a shot at either Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. And I don't know if you saw Carter, by the way, that sack he had on the LSU quarterback.
I didn't.
Oh, if you said in the SEC championship game. First of all, he beats a double team. He throws him down like a dad playing with his 8-year-old son and his next-door neighbor friend. Shoves two grown 300-pound linemen to the ground, picks up the LSU quarterback with one hand, and then holds him like a baby, while the LSU quarterback has no option but to just sit there and smile and kind of laugh at his sideline with his hands in the air. He's like, well, he picked me up like I was a baby. He just had him in his arm, had the other arm in the air with his fist up, celebrating that he just sacked the quarterback. He picked up the quarterback with one arm and was just holding him on his shoulder, patting his butt. Like, well, yep, here's my son. He plays quarterback for LSU.
I'm so proud.
I'm like, oh my God, can the Bears draft him now? Like, does he have to finish the college season and risk a knee injury?
Well, he doesn't have to.
No, but he will.
That seems to be all the rage these days.
But anyhow, yeah. The one game that all Bears fans are worried about that we might accidentally win is everyone said, oh, crap. Detroit. We might accidentally win that one.
No, you won't.
Their defense is just so bad. I'm hoping we don't, and I don't think we will. But it's a rivalry game. It's in the division.
Hey, that's not even on this week. Come on, man.
No.
Stay on task.
No. Minnesota's going to beat Detroit.
No, Detroit's going to win.
By like 4.
Detroit's going to win, and they're going to win. How about this? They're going to win by double digits.
Minnesota doesn't win or lose except that one game against Philly by double digits. Every Minnesota game ends in a 4-point win or loss.
No, that's changing. Changing this week.
Oh, my apologies. Actually, they only lose by monstrous margins. So you're right. If they win, it will be by 4. And if they lose, it will be by 40. That's how Minnesota
operates.
I'm
not even going to say 40, but I'll bet it's at least 2 scores.
Minnesota's only 2 losses on the year were to NFC East teams where they just got smacked around. How weird.
Should have lost to Washington, too.
You didn't smack them around enough. That's the problem.
Well, that's
you can't beat them in close games.
That's been our problem all year.
Yeah. Tennessee, speaking of getting shellacked by the NFC East.
Wow. Yeah, they got smoked.
Oh, boy.
But not as bad as Jacksonville, and they're playing each other.
There was a part of my brain that wanted to doubt Philadelphia, like, all season. Like, I just don't know. The NFC just feels so weak. And then they beat a playoff team from the AFC who's 8-4. I mean, yeah, the Titans aren't the AFC, but they're a AFC playoff team, a solid one.
Killed them, though.
A team that shouldn't lose 35-10 to anyone. And Philadelphia made it look like they were playing the Texans.
Yeah.
Oh, my heaven. They held Derrick Henry to mortal yardage.
Like 30 yards. It wasn't very much.
Yeah. So I think Tennessee gets back on track. Jacksonville's been feisty for a couple of weeks, but Tennessee needs it. They'll get it. And then we just talked about it, Philadelphia at New York, and Philadelphia. It's the Meadowlands. Oh, it's Philly and New York, and it's at the Meadowlands.
I'm going to take Tennessee just because I think Tennessee knows how to win. Even in games they shouldn't win, they end up winning if they have a chance to, because they're used to winning. Mike Vrabel does that. So I'm picking them, even if it turns out to be a close game. I still like them in a close game. And then I hate the Giants. They're going to get smoked by the Eagles at home. And the Eagles are going to beat them so badly, they're going to question that they should be playing football anymore. And then they're going to lose to Washington the next week.
Yeah. New York has a very tough stretch coming up. So they probably need this desperately. That tie was probably almost life-saving for New York, because they're on life support going forward, and I think that starts with a savage beating at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, I was just thinking about it. Tennessee, you want to talk about how impressed I was by that Philly victory? Remember that the Titans didn't even have a quarterback when they played the Chiefs, and that game still went into overtime?
Yeah.
I think Buffalo did smack them around back in week two. But Buffalo and Philly both able to blow out Tennessee. So I guess those are 2-1 seeds.
This next one is intriguing. Lamar Jackson, it's not torn, I don't think, but damaged PCL.
Yeah, they said week to week.
So he's not playing.
Of course, Tyler Huntley has a bit of the, who's the Cooper Rush thing going about him.
Yeah, he's pretty good. In fact,
a shockingly great win-loss record.
My brothers and I, we keep bringing this up. At some point, Tyler Huntley has made himself some money. Someone's going to offer him starter money, probably, to move on from Baltimore. That being said, look at Pittsburgh. They keep stringing together wins here and there. Their young players keep doing just enough to win.
That is true. Pittsburgh is the best they've looked during any stretch all season. You just caught me throwing my head back and ugh-ing into the air. So I just got an update. Michael Mayer, first of all, I saw this coming. He is declaring for the NFL draft.
Of course he is.
Not coming back for his senior year, because why would he? He's Mel Kiper's number 8 overall player in this upcoming draft, number 1 tight end. But then the issue, and we've scoffed at it before, they're still college kids. They're not professionals, so I'm not going to rag on him too much, but he's not going to play in the Gator Bowl.
Yeah.
It's disappointing as a fan, but it's not my life. It's not my knees. It's not my money, so we're going to get slapped. We have no quarterback. We have no tight end.
I'll just say this, though. Josh Allen played in the Tater Bowl.
I mean, it's something to praise Josh Allen for.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
People wonder, what makes him so different? What makes that? How come he can do this and these other? Yeah, stuff like that.
Josh Allen, you know, we said earlier, Duggan's not a quarterback. He's a football player. Josh Allen is the rare blend of both.
Yeah.
He is both a football player and a quarterback.
I love the post-game when this last Thursday, and he was wearing the Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey, sitting next to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
And Fitzpatrick,
I also have a Bills Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey.
And Fitzpatrick made a joke. I can't remember who he's referring to, but he was talking about Josh Allen when he came into the league. And he says, you know, Josh Allen's a lot like you, except he has talent. And he was talking kind of the gunslinger mentality. But it's like, yeah, he's just like you, Ryan, except he has talent.
Have you heard Ryan Fitzpatrick's rant about Joe Burrow as well that came out this week on his podcast?
I guess not.
Oh, when he said, You guys have no idea either how much this pains me, because I wanted nothing more than to hate Joe Burrow because he had everything. He's like, he had that swagger photo shot shoot he did in LSU. He's smoking the cigars, and he goes, and I'm watching this guy and I'm thinking, you have Jamar Chase, you have Justin Jefferson, you have Thaddeus Moss, you have an NFL offensive line. Just you wait, buddy. The NFL is going to slap you back down to earth. And Ryan Fitzpatrick goes, and here I am still waiting for him to get slapped back down to earth. This is ridiculous.
Back to the picks. I'm picking Pittsburgh. I can't believe I'm doing that, but I'm going to.
I am going to take the Baltimore Ravens because I'm going to ride the Huntley train.
Well, and
I think they win in a low-scoring game. I'm going to say that they do it in the classic Huntley. Tyler Huntley, by the way, not getting his Tim Tebow credit, probably because he didn't do it for an entire one-season stretch. But he has this weird tendency to do the Tebow thing of is losing by six in the final 2 minutes of every game, wins every game. Let's say he does it again. It'll be like 13-8. And Tyler Huntley will score a game-winning touchdown with 30 seconds.
And he very well could win that game. I think right now the momentum is with Pittsburgh and the game's in Pittsburgh, so I'm going Steelers.
Underrated part of this as well, in what I believe to be a very low-scoring affair, the Baltimore Ravens have Justin Tucker, and the Pittsburgh Steelers do not.
Good point.
You miss one field goal, and you're not going to get those points back. Justin Tucker doesn't give them back. Then we've got Chiefs-Broncos. So I mentioned that I really need Denver to win another football game.
Oh, Denver.
What do you suppose the odds are they do that this week?
Wow. Somewhere Pete Carroll is just laughing.
He shouldn't be. He's a terrible person, and he still owes USC everything they got punished that was like, his fault.
I agree with you, but it's like he sold Denver a Lamborghini with no engine. and then you get there and you realize, well, it's an older Lamborghini, but it's still not. Nope, there's not an engine. There's just a plant growing up from the ground through the hood. Oh, my gosh.
And the doors are made out of cardboard.
Russell Wilson looks so... If he wasn't being paid an astronomical sum of money by the Broncos, he'd already been benched by now.
Did you see that Geno Smith threw more touchdowns this week than Russell Wilson threw in November?
Carson Wentz still has more touchdown passes than Russell Wilson, and he hasn't played in 7 weeks.
To put that in perspective, by the way, Russell Wilson played 4 games in November.
Yeah.
Geno Smith this week, you might be thinking, oh, I must be forgetting something. What astronomical number of touchdowns did he throw for? The answer is 3.
Yeah.
Which is more than the 2 that Russell Wilson threw for in the 4 games he played in November.
And again, Carson Wentz had 10 touchdowns, and then he got hurt. They pulled him out of the lineup. 7 weeks. Russell Wilson still doesn't have 10.
Oh my goodness.
It's seriously, if he wasn't stealing money from the front office of Denver, he would be benched.
And right so now. We're clear, the Denver Broncos at this time are the number one defense in the NFL statistically.
And I want to throw out there Mike Purcell, Wyoming guy, their nose tackle. He's the one that screamed at Russell a couple of weeks ago. Because maybe, Purcell went to like 7 different teams before he finally carved a niche in the NFL, before he finally got that stabilizing contract. And then Russell Wilson gets to spend that kind of money on shoes.
Yeah.
And lose.
Number one defense in the league, and you go out and you get Russell Wilson? I mean, the Broncos should be a 13-4 football team right now.
That's what I'm saying. Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is like the guy who comes to town selling the snake oil.
Denver should have traded for Geno Smith.
Denver should have kept Drew Locke and then begged Pete Carroll just to kick him in the nuts on a weekly basis for the next year and not pay the money. And that would be better.
Yeah, Denver's so desperate because they can't draft quarterbacks, and now it looks like They can't even start a rebuild for like 6 more years because they'll be tied to this money regardless. You're just stuck with it.
They are absolutely boned. And I love it. I love it.
Here's another one where we've got a bit of ooh about it. Bit of a go get my quarter, see which side it lands on. And it wouldn't have been if Jimmy Garoppolo were under center. But San Francisco and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, another, you know, let's call it a Tom Brady classic.
They did just
enough. My God, did they look horrible.
It was like pulling teeth
for them to win that game. It was the Rams game part two.
For them to win that game. It was like, and then everybody's like, oh, wow, look, they scored 2 touchdowns in the final 3 minutes. I'm like, well, that's kind of cherry picking because the clock literally says 3 minutes when they hit that first touchdown, which was their first touchdown of the game. That's what I would focus on.
Yeah.
And then I would focus on the fact that the Saints could not move fast enough to give the ball back to the Buccaneers. What'd they use, like 27 seconds on their next drive? Oh, my gosh. Talk about this is where the analytics coaching part of things is starting to take too much away from common sense in the game. It's like, well, you can't do this. If we do this, then it hurries up the offense. And the stats say, take your 3 points, burn some clock, be conservative, win the game.
I don't know that they would have anyway, because they are really dedicated to screwing everything up.
That last touchdown came with 3 seconds left. You're telling me that if the Saints couldn't have burned another minute?
Now, to be fair, you say that. Tampa Bay did literally start slowing down in the final 40 seconds because New Orleans just let them walk down the field. I said, would you like to be inside our 10 immediately?
I guess what I'm saying is this game's weird because if Garoppolo was playing, I would pick San Fran super
quick. I'm still going to take the 49ers.
And I'm still considering it because Tampa Bay, they've burned me too many times. You know what? I'm picking San Fran too.
San Francisco.
They've got too many explosive players. All Purdy has to do is not turn it over.
Do you remember when Nick Foles, and I'm sure you do, jumped in there for Philadelphia for the Super Bowl run? All right, let me just, so that Dal doesn't explode having to remember Philly's magical and beautiful Super Bowl run.
Do you know
run.
How nice it was to be able to mock Philadelphia before they had any Super Bowls? It was easy. It was fun. You could make fun of the Rocky statue saying, these guys suck so bad they have to worship a false... A movie champion because they have no real ones.
You're saying this to a person who has spent his entire life hating the Chicago Cubs, and then 2016 happened. So, I gotcha. But anyhow, the 49ers feel like kind of a similar situation, right? I mean, you want to talk about Nick Foles jumped in and it didn't matter that he was Nick Foles because the Eagles offense was just built to just run, to just go, to operate. It genuinely felt like they could have held a raffle and said, lucky winner, section 421, seat 13, come down. You're playing quarterback for the Eagles this week.
Yay.
And you could have thrown for 2 touchdowns. The 49ers have a top 5 offensive line. They have 3 very capable running backs. One of them would be a starting slot receiver on 32 out of 32 NFL teams. Mm-hmm. You got Debo Samuel. You got George Kittle. You got Brandon Ayuk, who is fine. I mean, Brock Purdy, is he a starting quality quarterback? We don't know yet. Did he make it to the NFL and can do the bare minimum? Probably.
Don't turn it over.
I mean, these guys are going to be open for it. You got Kyle Shanahan running this offense. These guys will get open for you. Just hit them.
And he's going to tailor the game plan. That's the thing. At least this week, he can tailor the game plan.
I'm willing to bet that Brock Purdy is going to come into this game, and he's going to have to read half the football field. Kyle Shanahan will do that for him. And if I'm Shanahan, and I'm sure Shanahan will, he's just going to tell him, listen, this is your read. This is who's going to be open. I'm telling you this is who's going to be open. And if he's not open, you're throwing this ball into the dirt. Or you're going to throw it to me.
That's what I would do. Wouldn't that be fun? If he just peppered Shanahan with incomplete passes over the course of the game.
Like, we can give the ball to Samuel and McCaffrey and all that 40 times if we need to. And then the 20 times you need to pass, this is who you pass to, Brock.
It's sort of like Varsity Blues. Remember that game or that movie?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy he kept hitting the mascot to stop the clock. It's like, I want you to do that. I want you to hit the mascot in the head. That minor guy.
You have no idea either of how little faith I have in Jimmy Garoppolo. And Kyle Shanahan has turned Jimmy Garoppolo into a well-oiled winning machine of a quarterback. It's not that I have faith in Purdy necessarily. It's that I just have this much faith in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
I just think that team's a quarterback away. And you could argue that even when Garoppolo was there.
If they promise to give him back, we'll lend you Justin Fields for a game.
What makes you wonder?
We'll lend him to you for your first playoff game if you're playing Dallas.
There's nothing to say that this has even been discussed, but it kind of makes you wonder, would Aaron Rodgers go play with Sam? I mean, he's from Cal. I'm just saying, you put Aaron Rodgers on that team.
You remember how I talked about in previous episodes how much I hated the 49ers for all my life, but they're growing on me because they have all these players I like?
I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah, that's ruined immediately. If you ever even consider or think about that ever again.
I'm just saying, if he goes to a team like that, wow.
Granted, Aaron Rodgers, currently QB34 in the NFL this year as far as quarterback rating.
Where are we anyway? We're still on San Fran?
Oh, yeah. We've been loving talking about the 49ers.
Which is weird because, yeah. Anyway, next game. It's Carolina at Seattle. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Seattle. One, they're the better team. Two, they're at home. And three, Carolina has to travel there. Those are my three reasons.
Two and three sort of feel like the same reason.
But they kind of do, but they're not quite the same.
Okay. I'm taking Seattle for literally any reason. Come up with any reason Carolina could win this football game apart from, well, it's the NFL.
Yeah, that's it.
They don't have any. They have nothing going their way, so I'm taking Seattle.
This next one's intriguing because of the quarterbacks involved. There's kind of been this social media firestorm about Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert and how Justin Herbert gets all of this kind of positive press and that Tua gets all this negative press, even though his numbers are better, this, that, the other. It's been suggested there's like a race thing involved.
I do feel like Herbert gets a little bit overhyped.
Well, I think this is a game where, I mean, he's pretty good.
He is a phenomenal talent.
But they have a ton of injuries. And Miami's coming off a game where they kind of shat on their hands a little bit. And so I feel like Miami's going to win this game handily.
I am picking Miami in this football game. I think it'll be a great game. I'm going to root for the Chargers because I don't really like Miami. To continue what I was saying, though, I'm starting to get on that bandwagon that I think it was Dan Orlovsky, and I hate to agree with Dan Orlovsky. But Justin Herbert, Dan called him a social media quarterback, and every point he made was spot on. They're like, he has the ability to make every throw prime Brett Favre could make. He can throw across his body. He can throw it behind his back if he wants to. He can throw it with a blindfold on over the top of his head like a bouquet at a wedding, all for completions. Phenomenal. Great arm, great talent. He's going to put up yards, going to put up touchdowns. But oh my goodness, can he occasionally make the most boneheaded plays that could be solved by just not trying to force stuff all the time. Yes, you're talented. Calm down, Justin. And it's led to, I agree with him. I think he's overrated because people look at his highlights and see, these are impressive highlights. And then you miss the two or three back-breaking plays he'll make a game that always end up costing him the game. You know, they say, you know, there's this debate, should win-loss be a quarterback stat? Because so often it's really not on the quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo has a phenomenal win-loss record. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a phenomenal quarterback. Justin Herbert feels like he occasionally is the reason that the Chargers lose. Only because of, in those critical situations. I'm not saying that he cost them because he's not good enough to win. He probably keeps them in the game, and then he also screws it up right at the end. And that's kind of what Justin Herbert is.
I guess I feel like at this point, the comparison between these two is a moot point because
Miami has a better overall
team.
Miami
has the cheetah. Miami has they went out. First off, they hit a home run with their coaching staff. Miami did. I whether you like him or not, I think they did a great job. They go spend $30 million on Tyreek Hill, who's been worth basically $30 million. So good for him. They've got the receiving core. They went out and invested. And the moves they made were all pretty good. I mean, even grabbing the, is it the Wilson guy from San Fran a couple weeks
ago?
They
also got Mostert.
Yeah. There's a lot of talent on this team. And even if Tua and Herbert are basically the same, which one of these teams has more talent helping him this week?
Kudos.
By far, it's the Dolphins.
Kudos to the NFL, by the way, this week for remembering they have a flex option. And everyone was clowning poor Russell Wilson once again. That was originally the Sunday night game this week. And someone said, Russell Wilson has been so horrible, he got Patrick Mahomes flexed out of primetime.
That's pretty bad.
Last week, you had Burrow Mahomes. It was right there. And you gave us Colts Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. The flex guy. Hopefully the flex guy gets his mojo back, because next week it's Washington-Dallas. Washington Giants, excuse me.
Now, I am aware that CBS has the contractual right to protect one game per week, so they probably protected Burrow Mahomes and said, no, we want that. But you still had, and granted, it ended up being a blowout too, but if we take away the power of hindsight, why wouldn't you have said, well, that's fine, then we can't have Mahomes, Burrow. Give us 49ers-Dolphins over Colts-Cowboys. Yeah. Anyway, it's done. It's over.
Dolphins
will win this game. Even though the Chargers do have the man who is carrying two of my fantasy teams on his back the way he carries that Charger offense. Austin Eckler, what a guy.
Thank goodness for him.
He is so tiny and so good at football.
His younger brother plays at Wyoming. I keep telling you this. Starting safety. Please stay the starting safety at Wyoming. Jeez, everybody leaving, transfer, portaling. I hope he stays right there.
Did you see that the Brown twins, they're identical twins, ended up being number one in the Big Ten and number two in all of FBS? I forget his first name. Starts with an S. Brown plays safety for Illinois, leads the Big Ten in interceptions, and he's second in all of FBS in interceptions. Chase Brown, starting running back, his twin brother, leads the Big Ten in rushing, and is second in the FBS in rushing.
It's like Tiki and Rondé Barber.
It's a little funny.
We have to finish out the picks. New England at Arizona.
This is very Raiders-Rams and why it's difficult to pick.
I'm just going Belichick here. I'm picking the Patriots because even if they have an average game, it's going to be better than what Arizona will probably do.
Yeah, I'll take Arizona just because, I don't know, they've got a sexier roster.
And I also want to throw out here, I'm third now in the league.
Yeah.
I'm third. Where are you, Aaron?
I am currently seventh, but only two behind
you. Third. Only two?
Yeah, let me check this.
And how are you ever going to catch me? You don't ever make any good picks.
How dare you?
I have to do it here because he smoked me twice in fantasy. and not only did he smoke me twice in fantasy, he did it by convincing me to do what I wasn't going to do. I was going to take Josh Allen every day and twice on Sunday, and then I didn't.
And now I have Josh Allen.
And I have regretted it every day of the season.
There is a reason that I have been called more than once a snake oil salesman in fantasy football.
You're the Pete Carroll of our league.
I don't make trades either, Dal, that I think are fair trades. I have a rule against that.
Well,
I only make trades that I feel like are entirely going to screw my opponent.
You should be a banker or a lawyer.
So I guess I'll just really, really hope super duper strong that my Cardinals catch me back up.
And here's
this
the
week.
Funny thing: you and I did kind of low key pick some different teams. You picked
Arizona. Go Minnesota.
I picked Detroit. Wow. So you're telling me my
go Baltimore.
What am I doing? Anyway, I like those picks. We'll see where we are at the end of the week.
Yeah, maybe Joe Burrow will. I'll have climbed back into it, Dal. We'll have tied and then Bengals Bills will go down, and that will be our great tiebreaker in Week 17.
Maybe
Joe Burrow and Josh Allen.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Like it's Game of Thrones, and those are our trial by combat champions that we've sent out into the arena. Win it for me, Joe. Fight.
That would be awesome. All right, we're out of time.
Well, it's been another, not really a great week, but the Bengals won, and that was fun.
Well,
of football. So hopefully this week is.
As we wrap things up, I just want to say, screw you, transfer portal. You are making life hard for college football fans.
Yeah, but again, technically speaking, it's supposed to be an academic amateur league,
okay.
Not a professional. These are lies, but that's officially
it's
what
it's always been a lie.
Yeah. Anyhow, you can catch the podcast usually on Wednesdays right here on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you guys next time.